Armoire Davis out of Alabama.
Is it Armoire Davis?
No. Okay. Armoire Davis.
Armoire Davis.
Yeah, Armoire Davis.
Okay, I kind of like it.
Armoire. That's our nickname. He hits you like a piece of furniture, like a dresser. Right?
That could work. Oh, yeah. We are professionals. Look at us. We talk about guys and don't even know their damn names. Damn, we're good. Holy cow. I evaluate the players. Don't know their name. Ahmed hosts the show. Supposed to know that. Doesn't know the name either. We're a perfect tandem. They're two idiots running a football podcast. Yes, we are. That's right. Hello, I'm Chris Sims. That's Ahmed Farid. How you doing, man? What's going on?
I didn't even know what an armoire really was.
That's what I'm a little surprised at.
I was like, Pete, is it a chair?
I'm a little surprised. As worldly as you are, as smart as you are,
what an armoire is.
And it just sounds just like an educated word that you would usually know.
It's like if someone was like, do you think Ahmed knows what an armoire is? You'd be like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and an armoire is how that's how my mom always said it. Armoire. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how the mean streets of Franco Lakes, New Jersey, that's how we said
it. An armoire in the foyer.
Right.
You know, like the foyer, the part of the front part of a house.
Yeah. I mean, I had an armoire fall on me once and luckily got saved by the bed, right?
Seriously?
Yeah, like climbing up the armoire at an age where there's a shirt up there and I can't quite reach it. So let me step on one or two of the lower levels and it tipped over. And thank God it hit the edge of the bed or I would have either gotten smushed by one of the things or fit right in there perfectly. Right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, right. I've had full of dumb crap stories of Chris Sims' life.
Well, because my wife was always like when our kids were young, and they're still pretty young, they're 7 and 6 right now, but she was like, let's get all the furniture anchored to the wall.
Ooh.
Like, let's screw it into the wall. And I was like, that seems like an overreaction.
Yeah.
But now hearing your story.
Yeah.
On what kids will do.
Stuff like that. Shelves, armoire. I mean, you don't have an armoire, obviously, because you don't even know how to say the word. If you did,
I just don't
know
what
it's
called.
Your house. But either way, that was that.
So when I called them armoire, you kind of like had cold sweats. It was like a flashback.
No, it was, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that give me cold sweats. Like I said, I'm an idiot. Somehow I'm still here at the age of 42. But yes, I've had many stupid stories like that. And our man, Jalen Armour, he liked that we gave him a little credit.
So, yeah, you Instagrammed him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was you or if it was Pete or someone
else.
Pete
that controls that department. Yep.
You Instagrammed some of your love of him and your comments about him because he's not getting a whole lot of love. As a safety. I don't think he's in a lot of people's top five.
Yeah, he's a corner, so that just tells you how much respect he's got in there. You can't even get his position right.
Number three for you.
Yeah.
So he saw your post, he responded to it, and now you're going to get to talk to him.
Well, we're going to talk to him Wednesday.
That's
which would
cool.
be cool. You know, I love
Alabama.
Talking about the guys that are, that I look at and go, damn, this is a good player. Why is nobody giving this guy the credit he deserves? We're going to talk about one or two of those today when we talk of edge rushers here in a minute.
Yes.
But he's probably sitting there going, I went to Alabama. I had to sit behind all these great players. I finally get out there, and nobody catches freaking balls on me the whole year. I blanket everybody. We go to the national championship game. I run a 4.3 at the combine. Why isn't my name involved in some of these conversations? I'm sure that's how he's looking at it a little bit, and I'm with him. I don't understand why his name's not getting thrown around a little bit more as well.
So I look forward to that,
that
interview with him. Yep. All your interviews you do are so good. It's like you're instant friends
Thanks.
With all these guys. You do a great job with them.
Thank you.
You do a great job at evaluating all these players that you've been doing in your office at home for the last 2 months probably. And so it's interesting you're talking about a corner right there. So important in today's NFL.
Yeah.
This passing league now. Mm-hmm. I was kind of curious because today we're going to do your top five edge rushers, which you think is a very good group. We'll get your thoughts on how deep the group may be and the top end talent here. But just right off the bat, what's more important now in the NFL? Is it more important to have those blanket coverage corners or those edge guys that can put a little pressure on the quarterback?
I'd still go with the edge guys.
You would.
I would. It's close. It is. But the edge guys just, again, I think on a play-by-play basis are more involved in the football game. Run game, pass game. Okay, yeah, they ran away from you, so what? You know, but so much of that has to also go into, wait, we're running away from him because he's good. We don't want to be with him. Wait, we're going to put a tight end over here to help him with the pass protection. Now the tight end can't get out in the pass route because we wanted to double him with the tackle and the tight end. So there's that. Oh, wait, the back doesn't get out as quickly, right? So that's the effect that, like, we don't see with a great edge defender. It is the game planning things and the things that the quarterback and coach got to do to go, all right, let's try to limit the amount of how much this guy fucks our game up, you know, conversation there. So that's where it's really special, let alone, yes, the plays that those guys can usually make are game-changing, whether, hey, sacks, yes. I mean, the numbers with a drive that has a sack, of course, the success rate drops way down.
Sure.
The turnovers you can cause over that. Of course, big moments of games, right? It's a passing league. It's late in the game. Teams are usually throwing the ball in those scenarios. It's not like, oh, we're going to run a ball all the way down the field here. They have a chance there to close games out that way. So that's where I would say, yes, I would edge on the edge defender. Especially, I just feel like so many great receivers, the offensive coordinators and play callers have become so good at creating ways to get guys open that, you know, even if you do have the top corner in football, when they have to play the really good offensive coordinators, they find ways to go, well, Jalen Ramsey, you're not going to be able to cover Deebo Samuel here man-to-man. We're going to put in a formation where, yeah, you're man-to-man, but now you got to back off 8 yards because we're going to pick you, and you got to worry about that, all these type of things.
Right.
So that's why I guess I would go that. Hopefully that's a good explanation for you.
What do you look for in these edge guys?
Right.
Because you got speed, you got power, maybe flexibility, but is there something that you look for that maybe makes you a little more unique as an evaluator of this position?
I don't think so. I don't think that I think the guys that know this position look for the same things. First off, like we've talked about with some other positions, but I think this one – you know, it's even more important, is there's different ways to view this, like wide receiver. You know, again, some teams are going to go, wait, we need a strong side defense end. The one that, you know, plays on the tight end side, handle the run a little better. Other teams are going to go, wait, we need the weak side defense end. The guy that can just rush the passer and have the short edge and not worry about, you know, stopping the run and doing all that. You know, then you get the other teams that are going to look at it and go, well, we kind of want a 3-4 outside linebacker, a guy that can get into space and also drop, you know, rush the quarterback at times. And then you're going to have teams that are going to go, wait, we play 3-4 and we want this guy to be like 4-3 strong side defense end, 3-4, 2-gap against a big tackle, right? Like Emmanuel Ogba, who's a defensive end down in Miami. That's what he does. So it's not all the sacks, but there's a lot of physical dominance in all the other areas, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, it is a little the what your team needs, what your defensive scheme is. But I think at this position, there's a few things. Like these are the freakiest people on the planet as far as pure size and strength is concerned. We're talking about human beings for the most part who are 250 plus, can run like running backs and wide receivers, have the strength of people and offensive linemen and defensive linemen who are 360 pounds, probably even stronger than those guys, and a lot of the weightlifting exercises they do. So it's that, and that's what you look for. It's the pure, raw explosiveness, the power. And then you start to go, all right, wait, is there some bend? Does he have some pass rush moves? You know, can he move side to side? You know, can he win with speed? Can he win with power? Or can he go speed then to power? And that's when you start to piece it together. But this is one where true physical traits certainly usually, you know, last the test of time at this position.
And just about every year you see one of the top ones or two of the top ones get to the top of the draft. You know, you've had the Chase Youngs and you've had the Nick Bosas, Joey Bosa. I mean, we just talk about how important these edge guys are, and they're always in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year and all the sacks that they get.
Well, and even last year should have been that way. We just had a weird year with COVID and Jalen Phillips, right, who came from Miami. Jalen Phillips, if he doesn't have the concussion protocols and there's some of that, he was a top five, top ten pick for sure. So that was last year was a little bit of a rare year that way. But I think that was, you know, determined from some other, you know, circumstances that played into that. But Phillips is the game, and the year went on, and if you watch Miami, the last 7-8 games of the year, Phillips was in the backfield every play, all the time, and has already proven to be the best pass rusher in Miami, and one of those guys they go watch out for in year two. And, you know, those guys can take over games. They really can. Like we saw Aaron Donald, that was a D-tackle, but still, getting after the quarterback, rushing the passer is the number one thing he does.
Maybe we'll self-scout thyself on how you did last year. I don't think that's in here right now, but maybe if we have time.
I think
time
I did all right,
there,
though.
Well, let's save
I
that
remember
for the end.
Some of the group, yeah.
We'll take a look back if we have time at the end there. All right, this group right here, before we get into your number five.
Yeah.
Of all the positions you've seen so far and scouted so far,
right,
is this the best, the most talented top five?
Yeah, it's the most talented top five. I think I will say that.
Okay.
You know, I think it's I really felt like this was a position where I went, six, seven deep to where you could go first round talent. And that's rare, I think. And then the guys after that were still like, whoa, a lot of mid-seconds, late seconds, third rounders, has a chance to really be something, though. There's a ceiling that's kind of intriguing here with this guy. There's just a flaw, you know, or something you'd like to see get a little bit better. But I think overall, when I'm just looking at this and I still got to do, you know, D tackles and some O linemen here, I think your comment is safe to me. I mean, the wide receiver position, I told you, it was very impressive. There's no doubt. So was corner. But I think when you take it all into account, top-end talent, depth, a little bit of versatility as far as, you know, what's your cup of tea and what you like, this position had it all.
All right. Let's get into it. You ready?
Yeah, definitely.
Your top five, maybe some surprises along the way.
Well, yeah, there's
you always do
yeah,
that.
You know that. There is. There's going to be a surprise here. There's no question. And again, it's I wasn't trying to make a surprise. That's for sure. I made a surprise in my top five, as I told you before this, that it bothered me so much that I almost put the guy in the top five just because of outside circumstances. But I've got to stay true to my evaluation on what I see on the field, and that's where I stopped. So we'll get into that.
Left shoulder was the angel that was like, I saw the tape. I just didn't like the
exactly
tape.
Exactly right.
The right shoulder was the devil going, clickbait. What are you doing?
Why
are you doing
clickbait? Yeah, that's what you're going to be called. Exactly. That's what bothered me. It's going to be clickbait. It's going to be, you know, piling on a certain person maybe. And because there was piling on going already, I don't want to be a part of that. But that's where it's going to be tough, and we'll get into that. That's what they call a tease, Amin.
That's a tease. That's a deep tease.
Good. Deep tease.
At the top of the rankings here. We'll start with number five, and this one might be a surprise too, because I usually at number five you do like to, you know, highlight a player that maybe, I don't know, you always do this, but a player that might be not getting all the love, and he's not in a lot of people's top five, but he's in your top five.
He is in my top five. I think, you know, his name is probably starting to, you know, get around a little bit more in these conversations, and I can see why. And that's Nick Bonito. Nick Bonito from Oklahoma. That's right, OU. The team that owned me in college, and thank God Nick Bonito was not coming after me in college. This arguably, and here, just start off with the banner statement. He's 6'3", 248. He's a phenomenal athlete. I mean, phenomenal. And I would say out of all these guys, and maybe out of everybody out of the edge prospects, was the best in-space edge defender of all everybody. Also, maybe the most naturally gifted pass rusher of the whole group as well. All right. So there's some things here to look at to where you go, wow. All right. Great body, great pair of legs. You know, I love that. Okay. The athleticism, like I said, the real deal, not only, you know, just straight ahead explosion off the ball, but where this guy's a little different is the side to side movements, you know. And what I found interesting, and we're going to get into this as we go, a lot of guys in this draft, for whatever reason, that win with quickness. And people might go, what do you mean with quickness? Well, I mean, I know we can go with speed around the corner and get there, or the old power move, and I'm just going to jam my head into the guy's chest and push him back. But the ability to get guys a little bit like, wait, is he going to go inside or is he going to go outside? And they have like almost like receiver ability to be like, like they're going to break either way. And they get a guy leaning and they go the other way. And it's unbelievable. I mean, Bonito was very special that way. Let alone, I would argue that his first step was up there with anybody in the draft coming off the football. And then the most natural bend in the draft as a pass rusher. And again, the bend, the ability to, I'm coming at you, right? Here we go. Boom. Coming at you and all of a sudden go like this around the edge of the offensive tackle to where he's blocking you, and all of a sudden he makes this quick move and gets around and they can't get there and move their feet enough to block him, and now he turns the corner and gets a sack or a strip sack.
Is that flexibility and
flexibility
balance?
And pure power in your ass and legs, and that's why you got to look at that part of the body for these kind of guys. Yes, because again, he's 248, he's 6'3". He's going to be playing men that are much bigger than him, 70, 80 pounds bigger, sometimes 100 pounds bigger. You got to have a special attribute about you to be able to handle, you know, that type of size difference. And that's where he is. Legs are real. Power's real down there. Now, he's not as powerful as some of the top guys we're going to talk about as we go on here. Like I said, he's a little bit more of a speed space guy. Sometimes he wins with just his quickness. Wait, you're going to block me? Wait, I'm just going to make you miss, and then I'm going to run behind you and get the ball carrier in the backfield. He's really good with that. Open field tackling, phenomenal. All right, so everything. And then when I talk about the strength and power, it's not like I was like, oh, man, this guy gets killed. He just, he's not the guy you're going to look at to go, he's going to dominate great run-blocking tight ends all the time. Or, he'll be fine all game long against an offensive tackle in the run game. No, he's going to lose some here and there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like it's like, oh, no. You know, against college players, he very rarely gets physically moved or loses a battle. He can set the edge. He can get off blockers. He's not as good in that department as some of the guys we're going to talk about here in a minute.
Right.
But damn, he's a good football player. And, no question a first-rounder for me. I mean, no question.
So number five is already a first-rounder.
No doubt about it. Not the athlete and the pass rusher combined, and then the player who's got some natural instincts to him, and then there's some versatility here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a true weak side 4-3 defense end, right? Mm-hmm. Just get out wide and fly after the quarterback. Yannick Ngakoue, Robert Mathis, right? Jerry Hughes. He's that kind of guy. Even I wrote Hassan Reddick, right? Because that's Hassan Reddick. The measurables are very the same. You know who else where I want to go to where he could be? I wrote Michael Parsons down too, because he stands up and plays stand-up linebacker a lot. And he's very good, like I talk about, in pursuit of a football, you know, having a nose for, oh, wait, they ran the ball. They're asking me to be the quarterback spy, right? And they ran it. And he breaks down and makes tackles like a linebacker. So he's very much along those lines to where I go, can you play him at linebacker? And then Michael Parsons, third down, put him at defensive end. You know, Hassan Reddick does some of that too. But either way, I was really impressed with the athlete all around, the explosiveness, can really stick his foot in the ground coming around the corner as a pass rusher. And like I said, maybe the most natural pass rusher of the whole draft.
So Nick Benito getting some love from you here. Yeah, he's got that athletic ability. But you've already mentioned the elephant in the room here, and it's his size.
Right.
And Mock Draftable, I think, has all the measurables right here if you're watching on Peacock or on YouTube. And so all the quickness things, the vertical jump, the athletic ability,
yeah,
boom, off the charts.
That's right.
All the height, weight. You know, wingspan, arm length, hand size, all in like the 10 to 15 to 20% range.
Right.
And so the fear, and you've already mentioned it, is that it was passable in college.
Right.
But yet he'll be dominated and he'll be exposed in the NFL.
Right.
But
right.
you don't see that.
I saw nobody dominate him, period, in college.
Right.
And he still got to play against some NFL offensive tackle type of players,
and
right?
He played well against Texas.
Exactly. Well, no doubt
Longhorns.
No doubt about it. Right, so there's plenty to go there to go, wait a minute, he's never going to be physically overmatched. And, you know, I when I'm watching these guys, I have some things pulled up about what other people have said about them and all that. You know, there's concerns about him setting the edge and stuff like that in the run game. I want to go, whenever he was in a defense that wanted him to set the edge, he sets it. See, where people misevaluate sometimes is sometimes on the snap he's told to shoot an inside gap. And then he gets blocked down, and people think, well, he didn't set the edge in the run game. They ran outside him. And I want
to
go, hey, dumb fuck, he was supposed to shoot inside there. Mm-hmm. That was his job. He can't go shoot inside and set the edge. If he can, he needs to be picked first pick of the draft. All right? So that's where, you know, I think there was a little bit of over-evaluating of that as I looked in, because there's so many of these plays where I went, wait, it's second game I'm watching. Anytime he was asked to set the edge, he set it. He didn't never lost a battle there. So, yes, but... he's a different guy. Again, this is not the guy you want, you know, head up on one of the best tackles in football on a third and short and go, you got to stop this guy and make the play in the run game.
Yeah, if you're looking for a three down guy, he might not be your cup of tea.
He's made for like Seattle scheme, you know, Jets, you know, the 49ers. You know, those teams, the Colts even, you know, the Cowboys, that's Michael, you know, again, the guy that go, wait, we're into speed and shooting gaps, and we're just going to put you out here wide. And that's why I said Yannick Ngakoue, you know, Robert Mathis, Jerry Hughes, those are the guys, he's bigger than Yannick Ngakoue is coming out. So, you know, that's the kind of player he is. It's a speed space player with a little difference as far as they're concerned, those guys, and the versatility of being a stand-up linebacker. And that's why I said the Michael Parsons, or you remember Bruce Irvin from back in the day, right? Similar to that, too. I could see this guy kind of having a similar role like that.
That's interesting. You know, it's like he might not be the cup of tea for everyone. He can't do everything, but do you have enough usable skills and elite skills to make you very useful to a lot of teams out there?
Yes.
He does.
He does. No question. He's too good of an athlete. He's too good of a natural pass rusher. And to me, that's where I do think he goes somewhere, you know, towards the later part of the first round.
Nick Benito out of Oklahoma,
yeah,
your number five edge rusher. You've already said number five is in the first round, so all these guys are in the first round.
I think so.
Would you even go maybe to say six and seven?
Six and seven could be two.
Oh, so you think maybe?
I think it could be one of those years. It could be. That's where this draft, as I start to go through here, and like I said, I got to get to offensive tackles, but man, I mean, right. The offensive tackle list seems like it never ends either.
Do we have our friends over at PointsBet on the over-under on first rounders and off the edge? We'll have to get to that a little bit later
okay,
on, but
cool.
Now it's time to get to number four.
Yeah.
Number four edge rusher.
George Karlaftis from Purdue. All right.
You're saying that right, too.
I did. I said it right. Okay.
I
got a little experience with like the Greek names growing up in Newark, Jersey. I think that's a Greek name, Karlaftis.
So George. So he's been ridiculed a little bit.
Right.
George is such a lame name. You got the name Karlaftis.
Right.
It's like, that's awesome.
Right.
Like Demolatis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Demolatis. Right.
It's like
Demolatis.
And then Pete. Although I like the name Pete. I think it's making a comeback right now.
Right. Karlaftis.
Before we get into all the things that George does well. Well, we got to make sure we are getting the name right, right? And so I think he was talking about this. Where was this, Pete? He was talking on a podcast recently over at Barstool Sports. And so we got a George talking about his name. So let's get this right.
So he kept his Greek name, right? So my Greek name is Yonos.
Dude.
It's not George. Like in Greece, like if I were to talk Greek to you right now, it would be Yas Yonos, like hey George, right? Yanni in Greek is Yanni. Yannis, so just, right? So his American name, English name, if you translate Yanni, it'd be John. Like, John doesn't, you know, it's not super cool.
John Karlaftis.
You know.
That would be solid.
And it's easy to say, too. So Yorvos is not super easy to say. Yanni's pretty easy to say, right?
So that's his younger brother, Yanni, who's also a defender at Purdue. And so they're keeping it on the family there in West Lafayette. They moved from Athens, Greece, not that long ago.
Man, Greek gods, literally, over here.
Started playing football in the eighth grade, George. So I guess his real name's not George, but we're going to go with George because we can say that better.
Yeah, right.
All that aside,
yeah,
seems like a good dude.
Great dude. Fucking awesome football player. Sorry with the F word, but I had to go.
Why would you apologize?
I don't know why I apologize either. Fuck you. I'll do it again. All right. This guy's a football player. I mean, it's just, again, disruptive. It's all about short area quicks, explosion, and just creating chaos. As a pure pass rusher, it was better than I expected. When I just saw some of the measurables and things and the body type, I went, I don't know. But then, I mean, first off, I'll just say this. The twitch and some of the quickness, it pops right away. Just right away, you turn on the film and you see him, wait, it's a run play, the way he got off the ball and threw somebody down to the ground to make the tackle. You go, holy crap, like that was, he did that in a hurry, he did it violently, and he did it easy. Like that's where he jumps off. And then you start to watch and you go, well, damn, I mean, he holds his own against everybody. He gets off of blocks against everybody. He's got an explosive first step and some good hands to go along with it in the pass rush. Has a little bit of a power rush move. You know, he doesn't have great speed as a pure speed pass rusher. He's got a great first step. He doesn't necessarily have steps 2, 3, and 4 to sometimes turn the corner.
Sure.
Like some of these other guys, like Nick Bonito, who we just talked about. He could do that. But it's still good speed around the corner. But I think the thing that's like more impressive to him with anything is just how he gets off blocks, how disruptive he is. He can shoot gaps. He can win with power rushing the passer. And has this thing where I never wrote this down in years past, and I write it down with maybe 4 of the 5 guys this year in the top 5. You know, you always hear me say speed to power, right? The old speed. He's going around the edge to win with speed and then realizes, wait, I'm not going to be able to get around. So now I'm going to put my foot in the ground and take that tackle and drive him to the quarterback, right? That's speed to power. These guys have quicks to power, which is really like weird. Like I never wrote it down so many times as I did this year. And what I mean by that is they have such great ability to shake and then shoot a gap, or I'm gonna shake and get you leaning one way and go around you on the outside. I'm gonna shake and get you leaning one way and then shoot on the inside, and they get you off balance that way to where it becomes a real thing. And just like a great speed rusher, when they start getting beat by speed, the tackles, oh gosh, I gotta get back there, and because they're worried about the speed, they lose their ability to anchor against the power. Right. This guy does the same thing, But through the quickness thing where he gets you leaning and, oh, no, he's about to make this move on me. And all of a sudden he just goes, boom, and he hits you with his hands and his chest and your chest. And they push people back that way. So it's quicks to power. The
Pete
shake
Pete
ability.
Wants to go with shimmy to power.
Yeah,
like
shimmy
that.
To power.
Shimmy
I
to
like
power.
That too. Shimmy to power, shake to power, quicks to power, whatever. I was trying to think of like a cool phrase that could maybe catch on.
Shake and bake to power.
Because it really is. The guy is really impressive at the point of attack.
Is there anyone in the NFL who has that quick to power? Like who do we see in the NFL who does that? It's rare, you think?
That's a good question. I should have come up with something.
No, that's interesting, though. If it is that rare, it could create some problems for some offensive linemen
it
who
definitely
haven't seen
is.
That ability.
Like TJ Watt can do that a little bit. TJ Watt has got very good short area quickness to where he can get you, oh wait, is he going inside, is he outside? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're bracing for one of those moves and he hits you in the chest. So there's one right off the bat that I would go, oh, that popped in my head right away. Mm-hmm. I saw it a little bit from our man Micah Parsons this year. He can do that as well. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else out here. I don't know. Those are the ones that jump out to me the most as far as just that quicks to power. But really, I think the thing that's more impressive than anything is the way he can shoot off the ball and get his hands on blockers, whether that's a tight end or a tackle, and dominate them in that aspect. And here you see, if you're watching on YouTube, you could see the body's real. I mean, this is a guy that's 6'4", 266, and he's ripped. He's cut. It's Greek goddish. It really is. He's got ass and legs to go with it. So, you know, there's not a lot to not like about the kid. He is bendable and pliable, like you see in these drills. And why does that matter? Well, hey, being able to bend around the edge, like we talked about, he's pretty good in that department, even though I just said his speed isn't top-notch. But the other thing is, like, you know, getting blocked and, oh, wait, the guy's kind of got me, and I'm bent in this awkward position, and I'm going to still throw you to the ground, even though you kind of had me. I'm throwing you to the ground, and I got off the block, and I made the tackle, and throws his body around that way. That's what I loved. And I just thought this was a really good all-around football player who has better pass rush ability than I expected, and he's got incredible power and strength as far as pushing offensive tackles, guards around. And then, like I said, his short area explosiveness I think is really special. The guy I kind of looked at him, and it was a guy from his old school. I wrote, this guy's a better version of Ryan Kerrigan than me coming out of the draft. Mm-hmm. He's a more, maybe not quite the gifted pass rusher, but I think a better player and a more disruptive player than Kerrigan was 10 years ago or so.
There's a lot of projection with Karlaftis. Not in a bad way, in a good way. It's like he as I said before, he started playing football in the eighth grade, moved over from Athens, Greece. When you call him a Greek god, he quite literally almost is. Pro Football Focus said, quote, he can legitimately line up inside.
He can.
Full time.
He definitely can. Like, so, he could be, this is where he'll be able to do it at times in college. I mean, in the NFL. It's not going to be a thing you're going to want regularly. Mm-hmm. But on like a third down, if you wanted to put him inside on a guard, he definitely can. And if you were like, oh, wait, but if they run the running back or quarterback draw, we're going to be screwed. I'm going to go, no, you're not. He's good enough to hold his own, you know, a few plays a game on a guard and a run play or whatever else. But that's the kind of strength we're talking about. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
Continue to go on if there's
anything
else.
No, and he just turned 21 this past week, and so
jeez,
he's young. So why is he not higher? What were the red flags? Pass rush?
I mean, I could think of is maybe that people don't love the pass rush.
Yeah.
There's not enough length maybe in the arms, but I don't look at it that way. I don't really know.
Where
do you see people putting him at?
Let me read a couple of things. Yeah. The cons here on George. One was said that he struggled to prevent being widened by Ohio State tackles. Movements tend to be a bit segmented.
Mm.
Running backs are able to dart through his gaps. Did you see any of that? That's some of the stuff from NFL.com. Mm.
Gosh, I really didn't.
I did not.
You know, I came away really quite impressed with the Ohio State game. I can't think of plays where I go, ooh, you know, I never saw any play or anything where I went, ooh, he's being physically overmatched or he can't handle this. Never.
Yeah.
I'm big into that. You know that. I'm big into, okay, does he win a lot of plays and how many does he lose? This is a guy that doesn't really lose plays. Benito, who we talked about a little before, makes a lot of plays, creates some plays, but because of the size, there's some plays every now and then where, yeah, he loses it. Like, right, the tight end is just bigger than him and gets a hold of him and moves him back 3 or 4 yards. I never saw that with this guy. Like, never. And, you know, the thing that I love more than anything, and again, I think where we're getting into here too, again, is what was the player asked to do? I would go back, and I want to be in my mind, go to the Ohio State game and go, man, anytime they got outside of him, he was supposed to go inside. It wasn't like a guy that was like, you know, being pushed down and blocked down, like, oh, no, I'm stuck. I can't get off it. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things I love about him more than anything is just he can get off blocks as good as anybody in the draft. He can make blockers miss, too. You know, he's got, again, that short area explosiveness and quicks to sidestep a guy and then still get back right in the gap behind the guy that was trying to block him and make the tackle that way.
So you like him a lot.
I like him a lot.
This makes sense that you think this is a really good group, maybe the best you've seen so far.
Where do you think people are like marking him at? Where is he?
No, I don't know. I think maybe it's the same thing as you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are high on him, but there are a lot of really good edge rushers in this class.
Yeah.
So you just like other people a little bit more. I mean, he's number four for you.
Yeah.
Even though you like a lot of things about him.
I really do. And a lot of things about him, you know, the three we're going to talk about in front of him are really freaking good.
So where do you think he goes and do a draft? Where should he go?
Gosh, I mean, I think I wrote he's somewhere around 20. That's what I ended up writing down. I kind of looked at him as like he could go 18, 19, 20, you know, maybe a little after. Maybe I need to pull off the draft order a little bit here just to look at this a little. But I wouldn't be shocked as far as if that's where it went for him. I wouldn't. You know, I'm trying to think here. You know, again, let's see. Houston's got no edge rushers. I don't know if he's a Lovie Smith guy. Okay, Baltimore, he would be that kind of guy for them. Outside linebacker.
Where does Baltimore pick?
They're at 14. Za'Darius Smith-ish kind of guy. Matthew Don, just big, physical, strong guy on the edge. Just violent, right? You know, Philadelphia Eagles, there's a need for some edge defender there in Philly. If I'm just free agency, there's nothing there that they did special. So, I don't know. There's a few teams that just in that range alone that you look at that could use him. So, I don't know. But, again, I think he's a really good football player. And I think he's, again, another guy that I'd go, stats don't really say it with him.
Sure.
It's the amount of plays that he get involved in and around the football and creates problem that I thought were very impressive.
So you like him a lot. Mid-first-round pick, you think, for George
Karlaftis.
Or YOLO.
YOLO?
YOLO?
Is that what it was?
You only live once. Yorgo. Yeah, Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
Pete goes, we ran that whole thing. You don't even remember it. Okay, so that's number four. So that means your top three. You think are solidly in the top 15?
100%.
You know, and there have been a couple players who've been talked about as possible number one picks, so that's maybe not a surprise for them. But right now, into your top three, your number three edge rusher in the class of 2022,
Jermaine Johnson II from Florida State. I mean, maybe my favorite body of everybody. This is like he has your Khalil Mack, Lawrence Taylor, traditional edge guy look, right? When he just stands there or puts the hand down, you just go, man, I don't know, but he just fucking looks good. I don't know what it is. I mean, he was one of those guys. As soon as you turn on the film, you went, wow, looks the part. Now let's see what it looks like, you know, when you turn it on.
He's a dude, 6'5", 254, didn't qualify for college out of high school. You may have seen him on Last Chance U. Do you ever watch that on Netflix?
I've heard of it.
He was on that.
Really?
Jermaine Johnson was on that, then ended up going to Georgia. Didn't play much at Georgia, so they didn't see it. They didn't see that body and go, wow, get him out there. Had to go to Florida State and finally got his chance.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, we've seen in college football, Georgia's got some guys that have some bodies like that,
That's
too.
That's true.
So like,
that is true.
And, you know, again, this is where it goes into Georgia probably likes a guy that's even naturally bigger. Like a bigger human being. They might ask their guys a two gap to where, again, he might have been good, but maybe not as good at some of those things as maybe they wanted, whatever. But, like, right off the bat at 254, the first thing I wrote down, like, the incredible play strength. Incredible play strength. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. At 254, tackles, tight ends, it's domination. He dominates tackles. There's no way you can expect a tight end to block him. So that would be the first thing I would tell you. And then as far as, like, the pure speed and pass rusher, to me, you know, he would be, after Nick Benito, the next guy where I'd go, oh, you talk about getting around the edge with bend, you know, and then, you know, the or just win with their pure speed around the edge. Jermaine Johnson and Nick Bonito are going to lead the class in that department, in my opinion, just from that pure speed pass rusher department. But this guy's a really good freaking football player. Like everything else, too. And that's where he separates himself from maybe a Bonito. And then, like, Karlaftis, he has all the stuff Karlaftis does, except he's a better pure pass rusher. That's where I came away. I was expecting to see a guy that says, off the edge, great pass rusher. But what I was more impressed with than anything is just, again, I think how violent he is in the short areas. You know, the way he can just get off the ball and crush a blocker right off the ball. And then just relentless and reckless. And you know that. I love that. I love reckless. This is a freaky position. You got to be a freak of nature and a crazy mofo. And he's the kind of guy that, you know, these are the type of things I look for, Amon. Get off a block. Wait, there's a running back running at me, you know, to my right, full speed with his head down. Screw it. I'll throw my body out there in front of him and stop him right there. You know, there's a lot of that to where I just go, man, what a man. What a play. What a football player. So that's what I loved about him. And, you know, even 6'5", 254, the ability to lock out, right, and then disengage. I thought I wrote, and I want to see where his eyes into the backfield to me were as good as you know, the top guys in the draft or anybody in this draft. And what I mean to that is, you know, Set Hutt, the ball snap, the guy's blocking him, he's holding it out, and he knows exactly where the ball is. He's not just into the guy blocking him like, oh, I got to beat you. Oh, wait, the ball ran by me? He is very aware as he's holding his ground and pushing the guy or holding his ground to go, oh, wait, the runner's coming here. Oh, let me get him set up to get there. Oh, wait, no, he went the other way. Let me throw the guy back over and get him that way. Yeah. He never loses sight of the ball, whether it's a run play or a pass rush. It's very important in the sport in general, if you're going to play some of the defenses NFLs are playing right now.
Yeah, mentioned he's kind of a late bloomer. Didn't really play a ton until he got to Florida State. But when he got to Florida State, he played a lot. He played about all game, averaged 61 snaps per game, according to Pro Football Focus. And so you do think about that a little bit in this game of football, violent game of football.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't played a ton in game action in his college career. He is 23 years old. I don't know if that factors in at all.
I think with a guy like this, when you see, like, okay, the production, which, you know, I'm always like, okay, yeah, that's a little bit overrated. But you see production disruption, and then you start to go, whoa, wait, Andy's only played like this? And I don't come away going, oh, there's only one area of his game that I have an issue with? Again, you make my top five for the most part, you better be winning a lot of battles and almost never lose a battle. And those were important to me. And that's where he doesn't lose battles that way. He doesn't. But no, I think, like, to your point and your question, I think that for a guy like that, that's a kind of a positive to go, wait, he's doing that and he really hasn't played that much and hasn't been coached to do some of the things. And one of the last things I wrote down to your point here, and I think this is a perfect point to add it, is as the year goes on, what I like to see is you started to see a variety of pass rush moves. You know, it started to become a little bit more, oh, here's a spin move. Oh, here's a, you know, punch it and rip them down and go around the edge. And I started to go, because early in the year, it was just like, I'm going to win with speed, or I'm going to fake the speed and come underneath and do it that way, right?
Right.
And it just, you started to go, oh, okay, wow, okay. And again, you're seeing it against the Boston Colleges of the world, great offensive lines, the Clemsons of the world, the Notre Dames of the world, where I go, these are NFL offensive linemen he's going against, and he's giving them issues. Huge fan of this guy. He is a T.J. Watt, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn type of football player, in my opinion. That's what I look at him as. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a top 10 pick, in my opinion. He's a top 10 pick.
And I know at the Senior Bowl, I believe, or somewhere late, where he was awesome.
Yes.
And people really liked him. The
Senior Bowl, I think you're
was
right.
Was it the Senior Bowl?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a Senior Bowl.
And I haven't
he looked
even
awesome
watched
there.
Those clips. I need to
you
watch because people always said they were really – he's impressive there.
I like him even more after that. The hesitation was that he didn't do it a ton in college. But like you said, he was playing behind some guys at Georgia. And that is the funny thing about – you know, underdeveloped or, like you mentioned, didn't have a whole lot of moves
right.
in this draft process. Sometimes that's to the player's benefit, right? You're like, oh, I can teach him that.
It's exactly
like if you have
right.
a refined product, right. you're like, oh, there's not a whole lot I can do with this guy.
Definitely.
But every coach looks at that and like, oh, I can teach him this.
There's definitely that. I can mold him. I can make him into the, ooh, this guy's good already. I give him these two moves. Watch yeah. out.
So there's some of that with Jermaine Johnson.
There definitely is some of that. And, you know, we'll get into Georgia and what they want their defensive ends to do here in a minute, okay? I mean, yeah, just spoiler alert, well, right? Somebody from Georgia's coming up soon.
Why don't we do it right
I
now?
I mean, I will, but I'm going to just end with this okay. guy just one more time. I just want to make sure there was nothing else I missed there because you were going to make a point. But, okay, here's to your point here. 3-4 outside linebacker, mm-hmm. no doubt, can do that.
Now, what does a 3-4 outside linebacker need to do?
3-4 outside linebacker is going to be, you know, you're going to have your three down linemen and the three, you know, 3-4, right? Your three yep. linemen. You got a nose tackle, and then you're going to have two bigger Eric Armstead, you know, DeForest Buckner type of guys that are your defensive ends. They're like hybrids, defensive ends, defensive tackles.
They're more tackles than they are ends.
A little bit, yeah. right? They're like athletic big men who can kind of do both. We can put you on the edge. You're not the fastest, you know, but you're really powerful for out there.
Right.
We can put you on the inside, and you're plenty powerful to handle, you know, this, but maybe don't have the best anchor when double teams or stuff like that. But, yes, it's those kind of guys that would be head up on a tackle, and now you got the outside linebackers outside of them, right? So, you know, if it's the tight, they're going to be on the outside shoulder of the tight end. If it's the weak side, they'll be, you know, with nobody basically on them and have a free edge, right? So that's the 3-4 outside linebacker. He's going to be phenomenal at that. He's amazing in space, you know, tackling, running people down, going to be able to drop back into pass coverage. You know, this is TJ Watt. That's what he does for Pittsburgh. And then it's, oh, wait, you know, they're getting into a passing formation. Put your hand down and we need you at defense end, right? Weak side, rush the passer, go get him. That's what he is. So it's 3-4 right. outside linebacker or weak side. Again, get wide, go get the quarterback. And that's why I said, like, the Jets at 10, they need a pass rusher. Jermaine Johnson II, to me, would fit, like, you know, a Nick Bosa-ish type of presence that they want coming off the edge to be a real force rushing the passer.
Strong group. We're already yeah. talking top 10.
Yeah.
With your number 3 edge rusher in this class. Played at Georgia, didn't play a whole lot because you mentioned there are some dudes at Georgia. They're pretty good.
Yes, they are. And the one we're going to go to right now is Trayvon Walker, who is a dude that is pretty good.
Your number 2 edge rusher out of Georgia.
Wow. Maybe the freakiest guy of all. He's the freakiest guy of all these guys. Let's just start there. It's the freakiest guy of everybody in the draft at the edge. There is incredible strength. You know what you're going to get as a player. He's got the most versatility probably of any of the edge guys in this whole draft. And when you say that and you go, what do you mean edge versatility? I mean, he's so athletic. You know, he's not going to do this. It, like 3-4 outside linebacker, he could do it. You could go, he could do it. I don't think that's where he's going to be. Strong side defense end in the 4-3, like with the tight end side. No problem. Weak side, rush the passer. Sure, no problem. You know, 3-4, be a man-child like DeForest Buckner like we were just talking about. Oh, okay, no problem. Oh, wait, it's third down, go to 3 technique and play defensive tackle now, like Aaron Donald, and be that. Okay, no problem. He, to me, has the most ability to do a lot of different things on the defensive side of the ball, which gives him value. And you get to see him do it just about every spot. So it's not like you're projecting that way. In fact, the thing you get to see him do the least is the thing he's getting drafted for at the highest spot for. Because this guy is going in the top 5 of the draft. Trayvon Walker is going in the top 5. I could have easily made him 1B to my 1A. He's that good. It's that close, all right? And the thing you don't get to see him do the most is just let him get out wide, put his hand to the ground, and go rush the passer.
Because they don't do that.
They don't do that. They do a little bit of what we've been talking about, and this is where the Jermaine Johnson thing play. They want a little bit more of a, you know, size, a bigger guy that sometimes might have to line up head up on the tackle. Or if they are outside, it's not like pass rushing, get way outside out there. It's like just barely get on the outside edge. Georgia asked their defensive linemen to hold the point of attack, right? Does that make a sense on them? They're not allowed to just fly upfield and go. They're asked to get off the ball, control the guy in front of you, and don't let him fucking move you. And now let our awesome linebackers fill in the gaps behind that, because we know you got that gap, and the other first-round D-tackle's got that gap, and the other first-round D-tackle's got that gap, and the third-round DN's got that gap.
Yeah.
So you guys hold those gaps down, and we might ask one of those two guys to go two gaps, and then we can get, you know, our awesome middle linebackers to do it. So he doesn't get the free reign of just pin your ears back and fly and go get the guy like maybe some of these other guys do in the draft.
Because they're like, you're 272. You can do that. You can manhandle these guys. 20 pounds bigger than Jermaine Johnson, who we just talked about. Do we have the measurables from Trayvon Walker? Because I think that's when he started to really pop for a lot of people, when he went to the combine and did this whole thing. If you're watching on Peacock or YouTube from Mock Draftable again. So basically everything is green.
Insane. Here,
which means he's in the 80th to 70th to 90th percentile in everything. We're talking height, weight, wingspan, broad jump, three-cone drill, 40-yard dash. I mean, 98th percentile, 40-yard dash for a guy his size and his position. So, his measurables are off the chart.
Off the charts.
Right? Did that show up? But like you said, it didn't show up on tape because he's not asked to do that. And there is a clip circulating out there on Twitter of one of the defensive coaches for Georgia. He's like, one of the big knocks on us is that we don't get enough sacks, we don't pressure the quarterback enough. And he goes, and I agree with that. I think we might have to change a few things to speak to what you were saying.
They don't play that style.
Why his production might be down.
That's why you got to be careful with Georgia and Alabama defense alignment. You got to remember what they're being asked to do. Saban, Kirby Smart, they don't just go. They just don't do that. It's a little bit more of a measured approach. It's like Bill Belichick up in New England. They're kind of playing a defense to stop everything, not just do one thing a little bit.
Here's my fear, though.
Yeah,
Here's my fear.
But you get to see everything.
Yes.
So just so you know, there's not like, I don't get to ever see any of this. You just want to see some of it more, you know, as far as
the frequency of – there are times you see him do what you're saying here.
Exactly.
But the fear is that the Georgia coaches are not idiots, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like they have their system, yes. But the fear is that some of the stuff he was not asked to do, they did not feel he could do. Because if a guy that freaky that can do all that stuff and is so fast and that big, it's like you don't even need to be a college coach to identify that.
Right.
As it just let him
go. I know.
So that would be the fear.
I hear the fear.
What did they see, or what are they really that bad? Did they really not see his ability?
No.
Or are the things that they fear?
I think it's more of, no, this is we can be elite if we play defense this way and we're special. And we don't need to, you know, let a guy just be out here to, maybe cause 7 or 8 plays a game that we go, wow. But also there could be 7 or 8 plays because we're just letting them go way out there that they run a few plays to where the other offense goes, wow, on us and makes a big play. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're so good and so talented that way that that's just the style of play they're going to play. You know, but there's still plenty to piece together here to go. Oh, if you want to widen this guy out, I mean, his first step, it's phenomenal. When he explodes in a straight line, it's comical. I mean, whether he's running a quarterback down or a running back in the backfield, I mean, it looks weird because you're like, wait, this big guy is accelerating faster than the running back who's trying to run away from him. So that's what's amazing. And then, you know, bend is good. It's not like I don't sit there and go, oh, wow, like it's not as good as Johnson or Nick Bonito.
It's funny you mention that because one of the knocks on him is a limited bend.
It's not a top-notch bend that way. But where he makes up for it, of course, is incredible straight-ahead explosion to where he can win around the corner just with pure speed because step 1 and 2 and 3 are all fast. And then you go, oh, gosh, he's getting around. And then where he makes up for the lack of bend, too, of course, is incredible power to where he's the kind of guy that if he just goes full speed and goes, like, forget a move or anything, if he just runs into you and takes his arm, like, most everybody goes back. So he has that aspect.
Yeah. So he's got the power. Sorry to interrupt you, but he's got the power, but he works a little bit higher, perhaps.
He works higher, 100%.
Which maybe in the NFL.
Yeah, at defense end, though, you can get away with this. Yeah. And I would worry about it if I saw, issues with it in strength throughout the game. But you don't ever see it. I mean, this guy, he fucking annihilates everybody.
Sure.
All right? And that's where. And then to the added part of, your question of it than Ben, because it is there's not the great superstar Ben, but his three-cone, that's where, if we could put this back up in his measurables, Pete, if you get a chance, maybe it's too late. But
93rd percentile.
It's a 6'8", 9 three-cone. That's like elite wide receiver. In fact, some of their elite receivers in the draft that we've talked about already did not run 6'8", 9" and the three cone. That's fucking insane at 272 pounds. That's insane. So even though he might not now, like, if you guys don't mind just coming back to me on my solo or the two shot.
Jeez, you're directing the show now. Kristen, you can, hey, Kristen, you can take lunch. Just
but
Chris
even
is-
though he might not be able to do this, right? We're talking about the bend.
Yeah.
He can, okay, be a little upright and be going so fast and put his foot in the ground and still go around the corner in a way to where it makes up for maybe that lack of bend that we're talking about. He's really a very fluid, bendable athlete as a whole.
Yeah.
Just as that pass rush, yeah, you don't get that traditional really low lean because he is a little bit more high cut. You can't have it all, right? I mean,
yep.
You know, you can't have it all, and that's maybe one area that he's missing just a little bit.
Pete, where was he being mocked before the combine? Like, where was he? Was he? I know he blew up after the combine.
He blew up at not only the combine, but this is where to our classic case that we talk about a lot.
Yeah,
I promise you what happened with this kid as coaches started to finally watch. They started to go, no, hey, area scouts, these plays where you think he's not doing as good, he's doing exactly what he's told to do. It's just not sexy, but they want him just to hold the ground or two gap like we talked about. And I think once that started to happen with the measurables and then the people that really count in the evaluation where the GMs and the higher-ups start to get really in this, that's when you start to go, he's climbing up boards. And it's just the people that really know what to look for are now going, whoa, this guy's got what we're looking for.
Yeah, they now have time to watch the tape.
Exactly.
And when they do that, they go, this dude's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, he stepped up in the national championship game, had a career-high 7 pressures in that game.
He was phenomenal.
PFF says he dropped into coverage 26 times
That's
in
what
2021.
I mean. You see it all.
Versatile.
It's insane, bro.
All right, so the question from GoodNuz08, is Trayvon Walker overhyped now? Has the love gone too far? Or was he overlooked for a while? You just mentioned that.
Yeah.
As someone who isn't a scout, I don't know if I should get excited if the Giants get to draft him or not. So yeah, let's talk about draft position for this guy.
We should get excited.
Let's talk about draft position because there have been people that have said that the Lions should take him at number 2. Would that be too high?
No. No way. It's not. His guy has... He's not my number 1, like I said. He's 1A or 1B, whatever you want to say. He has a higher ceiling than the guy that I got at 1, all right? He does. He's got more potential to be a greater player than that guy, all right? But there's no weakness, let alone the floor is extremely high with this guy too. You're not going to go wrong with him. Your thing here is just going to go, wait, is he going to start for us for 8 years? Or is he going to start for us for 8 years and make 5 Pro Bowls and maybe like a few All-Pro teams? That's really what it's going to come down to. And I'm betting on the second part of that. Because the length, the power, the speed, you know, like I talk about, like in the run game, the bendability, all of that. You know, taking on people, being in an awkward position, still getting them off him to make up tackle. He is probably the most violent guy in this draft as far as throwing his body around, tackling. You know, the change of direction for his size, like when you're talking about dropping into pass coverage or something. Like, come on. You're like, are you serious moving like that? Really? And he's another guy, I just wrote the stats, don't tell the story. He's very disruptive. And his potential is great. I mean, he could be Myles Garrett. He could be Michael Bennett for the Seattle Seahawks back in the day. There's a lot of different ways this can go. And he's the most strong and physically gifted of all these edge guys in the whole draft. That's what I'm going to say right there. So, again, this is to say, if my Giants take him in the top 10, please sign me up. Yes, please. Thank you. I'll take it.
You think he's good at number 2? You think he's great at number 10?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So I think, Pete, have you been working furiously back there? NFL mock draft database.com. Oh, yeah, here it is. So here is his mock draft ranking throughout time here. So you go back to January 5th. He was right around 30. So end of the first round, then kind of dropped out of the first round. And then for some reason on March 6th, he went all the way down to like 45. What did he do? Did he have like a bad Instagram post or something like that?
That's funny.
Character issues got out there. And then he shot up. Then you get the combine, which is funny. And then he is in the top 10, and he's been creeping up there. It looks like he's like number 5 right now in most mock drafts.
Yeah. Well, because I would think combine, see what happens for a lot of these teams is they go to the combine. The coaches have only seen a handful of plays of these guys just so they have a little feel. And then combine happens, and now it's time to go home and study these guys that we met at the combine, and you've seen a few plays. And to me, that arc is exactly consistent with that of, oh, wait, we met the guy. Whoa, he's impressive. Whoa, the workout was impressive. I kind of like those few plays I saw before the before we started the combine. All right, so let's sit down and watch him. Holy shit, he has all that, and he's this guy on film? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Holy shit, shooting up the rankings, where every team was probably sitting there going, oh, nope, Southeast Scout has it wrong. His grade should not be a 6.1, blah, blah, blah. It should be a 6.9, a 6.8, something like that, and it should be up there with the top part of the draft. And I'm guessing that's probably what happened with this guy. This guy is definitely going in the top five. There's definite. Like, I would be shocked. Definite top 10, but yeah. I would probably bet definite top five, too.
If he doesn't go in the top five, you will kiss my feet
yes,
on this podcast. No, don't do that again. Don't do that again. We'll never do that again.
Oh, man.
It was uncomfortable for you and me and everyone watching, but no.
Man strength right here with this
Walker,
guy.
Trayvon Walker, man strength.
Man strength.
So that leaves one. You got one left, and there are two guys that have been talked about as the number one pick a couple of times. Early in the year, that was Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, talked about, I think, kind of as the NFL season was starting. It's like, who's going to be the number one pick?
And, yeah, he was
and
the
this
name.
Edge rusher from Oregon was often talked about. And then here recently, we're talking about Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan as what everyone thinks is going to be the number one pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of these guys is not in your top five, surprisingly, shockingly.
Yeah, right. You want to go there first, or you want me to say who the number one rusher is first?
Who's your number
one rusher is Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. Okay?
Okay.
There you go. Now, I mean, he's a really damn good football player. Do we want me to get into the Kayvon Thibodeau stuff now or
save
just go
that.
All Aiden?
Let's do Aiden. I think we do Aiden. What do you think, Pete? Aiden?
Yeah. Let's do
Aiden. Let's do Aiden. Let's do Aiden.
I mean, dude's a baller. I mean, first off, he's 6'7". He's 260 and got a body because I met him at the Super Bowl where you go, he's just going to get bigger and stronger. He's just a little pup and he's still growing. You know, so it's just going to continue to fill out. Mm-hmm. The first thing you see when you turn on the film is the twitchiness and the quickness of the athlete. That's the number one thing. So you see it and you go, whoa, that dude's big at the end of the line of scrimmage standing up over there. And then you go, whoa, is he really that quick? I think that was the first thing that I came away with that I just went, wow. I mean, the side-to-side quickness, whether it's the pass rush, to avoid a block, to break down, and, oh, wait, I shot through the C-gap, and now the running back's here, and it's me and him one-on-one. I mean, all of that is, like, phenomenal. I mean, for a guy that's 6'7", 260, you just don't see that a lot, right? I mean, this is like a – this is T.J. Watt, but he's 2 inches taller. That's where it's rare. Then, like, then you get into the player himself, all right? Pass rusher's really damn good. Doesn't have maybe the bend that we talk about that we love a little bit like Trayvon Walker.
6'7".
But he's 6'7", exactly. You know, it's long-legged guys. And the other aspect of this is exactly what I just said about Trayvon Walker, too, here is look at his three-cone drill. His three-cone drill is 6'7"3. I mean, that's elite slot receiver three-cone drill. That's like insanity. So Trayvon Walker had a three-cone drill like an elite receiver, and then Aiden Hutchinson said, no, I'll one-up you with, like, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, slot receiver quickness. So that's where he can get away with that without that bend because, again, here's another guy who can just kind of stick his foot in the ground and really turn tight corners that way. So that's where he's good. But then you get into, like, phenomenal in the run game, Ahmed. Phenomenal. I mean, you can't put a tight end on him. It's over. Like you really like you get to game 5 or 6 after watching. You go, are they really going to put a tight end on this guy after the last fucking games I just watched? Like, come on, that's stupid. And he does the same thing to tackles. He's got as good hands and ability to disengage in the run game as I've seen in a while. I mean, he's got that move down too. They're coming at you. Boom! He gets them on you, and it just throws him to the side, and he makes a tackle. And he's in that wide base Cam Chancellor, and he's just really good like that. So that's where I was impressed. And then the hands are good in the pass rush too. You know, he's got good hands to get around the corner, or stop a lineman from punching him in the chest, and give himself a little edge around the edge there. So, you know, that's where the guy is a phenomenal football player. He's really a can't-miss prospect like Trayvon Walker. And I will say, the pass rush, it was real good. Did I sit there and go, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, I'm drooling? No. I didn't.
Where was it? Was it a lack of quickness, speed,
I think the first step was good, but it's not like, wow.
Yes.
You know, the little bit of lack of a bend, you know, that takes away from it. But the football player, I kept going, wow, 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 you know, one after another. And then we get into that conversation a little like we talked about earlier. This is the king of quicks to power. He wins. In fact, there was a time in the tape where I was just going, is he ever going to win a pass rush just like the normal way? Or is he just going to always shake somebody and make them miss and then shoot inside or outside? And then as it starts to go on, he starts to do what we talked about before. The quicks to power, the shake and bake to power, whatever you want to call it. Where he wins with quick so much that now they're bracing for it. And he sees them brace for it and he goes, well, now I'm going to overpower you. And he pushes them back and wins a lot that way. And as the year went on, he got better with bend and stuff like that too. So, I mean, again, this is, I think a lot of these guys that we talked about are really good football players. This guy is phenomenal. He's elite quickness. He's an elite football player. Eyes into the backfield like we talked about with Jermaine Johnson and even Trayvon Walker. They had this too. I should have said that about him. But the ability, always knows where the ball is. Always knows where the quarterback is in the pocket. Oh, the running back's coming my way and I'm kind of holding my guy and waiting. And oh, okay, he's going this way. Let me get him. I mean, he's phenomenal that way.
He was able to set the single season school sack record this past year. Didn't have any sacks in 2020, but missed some time. Missed a lot of time when he broke his leg. 2019 was playing a little bit of a different spot. So the production was elite this year. Wasn't necessarily that beforehand. But, you know, part of the narrative on Aiden Hutchinson, a lot of people like him. A lot of people are mocking him in number one overall.
I would bet that's where he goes.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The narrative kind of out there on him right now is that he's awesome. He should go number one. He's great. He's big. He's fast. He's powerful. He'll be a Pro Bowler. He won't be an All-Pro. He's going to be really good. He won't be one of the best edge rushers in the NFL.
I'm not ready to say that.
You think he could? Like, if he maxes out, hits his peak, potential, we could be saying 5 years from now, Aiden Hutchinson is the best pass rusher in the NFL.
Definitely. Do I see, like, the ability to be Aldon Smith, right, early in his career, who had, what, 39 sacks in 39 games?
Yeah.
He's tall, athletic as hell, you know, wish his arms were a little longer. But I think he has those capabilities. I do. Again, the floor is extremely high, like we talked about, so there's no, you know, there's no bad side to this pick at all. And, no, I'm not ready to agree with that statement. I'm not. You know, first off, too, with so many of these guys, where I've been wrong about some of them before, like Danielle Hunter and that, you know, these length, taller guys, they just got to learn a few new tricks and things to do, too. And they haven't been taught that because it's college football. It's not as nuanced that way. He's going to get around other good pass rushers and have more time to work on his craft. You know, and like I've always talked about, too, with the other added element of the other alpha males in your room and what you're expected to do, it just drives up the intensity and the detail and all that, too, to where I'd go, no, I'm not ready to agree with some of those sentiments that are out there that are like that. Not at all. I think he will go to Jacksonville, the number one pick.
Yeah.
I say this, and like I said, not that I think it's overwhelming, he deserves it, but I think you see, you know what he is, you see what he is on film. You know, with Trayvon Walker, we talked about there's a little bit of the projection aspect of, like, we don't get to see him be the outside guy all the time.
Lockdown cornerback says, doesn't it seem like Walker has taken over the favorite for first overall? Think his potential is higher than Hutch, and he's more versatile. Thoughts. So this is what you're talking
about. That's what I was
saying. Between the
two players, I agree with exactly what our guy's saying there. Yeah, I think his ceiling is higher in Georgia. I get that. You know, we got that, and the measurables are high. But it is still a little bit of, like, wait, we didn't see him do this on a consistent basis. I've seen this guy do it all year long, whooping ass against Ohio State, really good in the Georgia game too, even though they got their ass kicked as a team, right? To where I go, no, this guy's got it all. He's got it all. And, I mean, you know that's what he's going to be. He's a strong side defense end, weak side defense end, and a four down front, whatever one you wanted to put him on. I don't think there's matters. You know, he's athletic enough. If you want him to be 3-4 outside linebacker, he could do some of that. But he's not as good in space as, like, Trayvon Walker or Jermaine Johnson II. But he does have a little bit more of an element maybe to be like that five technique where he could play head up on a tackle. And because he's so strong and so violent with his hands and his upper body strength, that he could hold up against those guys
right.
and not be overpowered by a 340-pound big, you know, NFL franchise left tackle.
So what you've seen so far, you think that Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker are the two most impactful football players in this draft?
I think so, yes. I think wow. that's what I'm saying. Now, again, I haven't got to the tackles yet, and I
know
they're good.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's 32 of them that can go in the first round. I mean, as it sounds, but
haven't got the kickers and punters.
As I sit here, would think that they're going to go 1 and 2. I would,
all
especially
right.
with those two teams who have real needs for it, and the defensive schemes they play. One, this is why I'll say. I mean, Jacksonville. Hold on, I got to look it up.
Pull up the teams.
I am. Jaguars. Defensive staff. Here's the reason I wanted to say it. I'm going to get to it. Trent Baalke's there. All right.
Yep.
Trent Baalke. One of his first picks was the 49ers. Was like Justin Smith from Missouri, right? Just tough, played good football player, mm-hmm. culture guy.
He's great.
Gonna make everybody play tough, and then was awesome Pro Bowl player for a bunch of players.
Yep.
I mean, Aiden Hutchinson seems like he kind of fits that, let's change, you know, the culture a little bit and all that stuff into the equation. I do think that's how I look at it.
Yeah. And he used to work with Jim Harbaugh. I don't know that they always got along
but I'm
sure he's called him. And
sure, you're right.
Harbaugh's
right.
been very complimentary.
And here's my point, because I was getting to this and I blanked out exactly. Mike Caldwell, their new defense coordinator from Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I think they like bigger defense ends. I think they're going to be along that line of thinking. Number two, Detroit. It's a Saints coaching staff. Who are their defense ends? Cam Jordan,
mm-hmm.
right? Guys that are just not wide up wide and just rush the passer. Oh, we need to stop the run. We need to. That's where Trayvon Walker, to me, he fits what they want to do too. Who's the Saints defense ends are Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport. They're both bigger defense end types. You know, can do. Oh, Cam Jordan, we need you to play 3 technique. It's 3rd down. We want you to play defensive tackle here.
Sure.
No problem. 5 technique in a 3-4 scheme. Okay, no problem, right? So those two things alone made me think it's going to be Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, 1-2 off the board.
Pete notes that Baalke helped sign Justin Smith, did not draft him.
Oh, so okay. So it was helped sign him.
Already
okay,
been
cool.
in the league there.
Yeah.
Bengals drafted him.
That's right. Yeah. I remember that. Damn.
We just like to point out when you're a little bit wrong.
That's all good. I knew he ended up in San Francisco and Baalke liked him. I knew that. I forgot about the Bengals drafting him. I played against, you know, Justin Smith in college. He was good and he was definitely fit the crazy white guy mold of
he doesn't get
me on the bottom of the tile pile because he might rip my ankle off or something.
If no one's watching, I will be
right,
dead.
Right.
Okay, so that's your top five. I think we have one more look at it here. Aiden Hutchinson gets that number one spot. Trayvon Walker at 2. Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State, 3. What is it? What's his first name again? Yorgo Galaftis. 4 out of Purdue and 5 Nick Bonino out of Oklahoma. So.
Yeah.
If someone's looking at that graphic, you're going to tweet that out later on. Pete will tweet that out, and you will have 100 angry comments from the West Coast and Oregon.
Yeah,
because Kayvon Thibodeau is not included in your top five.
No.
Why?
I don't like. All right. There's. I actually feel bad for this guy a little bit. I do, because he did not set this narrative of being the number one pick. To me, this is being classified under a Chris Sims staple of what people have heard me say before. Unqualified people making qualified statements about where a guy should go. I feel like we're back to like Matt Barkley's the first pick of the draft conversation here. We're going to go, wait, let me turn on the film. What? No, he's not actually anywhere near the top 40 picks of the draft. What are we doing? Now, it's not that extravagant with Kayvon Thibodeau. I don't want to say that, but. You know, you hear the rumors and things about him falling and all of that. I did not expect to not have him in my top five. I texted producer Pete Demolitis and Matt Casey yesterday afternoon going, I was literally, as I was organizing it and going through my notes, going, Thibodeau's not making my top five. And I literally, to the point of feeling bad about the kid and the situation a little bit, was literally contemplating maybe I'll just make him number five to give him a little love. Because he's a first-round football player, but he's nowhere near a top five or top 10 pick. Nowhere near it. I mean, there is major holes in his game. That's where I don't understand it. And, like, You know, again, I think it's I don't know where the narrative started. I know he ended off that 2019 season or 2020 season on a pretty high note, so that jumped it off. Plus, he was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school. So, you know, and then he's got the size and the look of a guy that looks like he could be a number one pick. And I feel like it just jumped off from there.
Right. Well, now you're hearing.
But you're hearing people starting to say he's going to fall, right?
Now you're hearing people saying he's going to fall. Yeah. And they're saying it's because of character issues. And you always are dubious of that around draft season.
Right.
Just like, what are the motivations here? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just your impression.
Right.
You know, it seems to be a very confident guy. Maybe he's rubbing some people the wrong way in some of these interviews. So,
sure.
But here's the thing. So that's why in a lot of places he's dropping because people are like, oh, he's got some character issues. You're not dropping him because of that at all.
No.
Like you didn't even consider, you don't know the guy.
No.
So that wasn't even part of your evaluation.
Definitely
here.
Not. I feel like the character issues and the things you're hearing, because I hear like, oh, doesn't, you know, motor's not great, doesn't play hard all the time, doesn't put himself on the line physically, all those things. See, I think the character things came out after people started watching on film and started going, wait, I got some questions here. And then, you know, I think he's helped himself with some of the things he's said? No, maybe not necessarily.
He's trying to embrace the fact. I mean, he's
trying to like say he's the number one best player in the draft. He said things like that, which is cool.
If other people have said that about you, how would you not say that about yourself?
I know. And hey, listen, when you're there, you try to, you know, stoke the flames and keep the good vibes and good press going that way.
So here is Pete's put in the rundown here. Thibodeau, a quote from him saying, "The most ridiculous thing I've heard is that I'm not the best player in this draft. I really don't listen to anything else, but that to me, that's outrageous. With the film, with the numbers, what I can do, as far as my ability, I have confidence in what I can do."
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, other people have said he's the best, and now, like you said, maybe people are taking a second look at the tape and being like, he's not the best, and he's trying to defend his turf.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a tough spot to be in here.
So what'd you see that you didn't like?
Yeah, well, there's nothing elite about his game, right? That's the first thing I would say. You know, first
nothing.
Off, I don't like elite where I look at it to go, I don't want to say that. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Elite compared to some of the guys that we've already talked about. All right, that's the first thing.
He doesn't do things anything better than people you've already talked about.
Definitely not. Definitely not. And not one area. And again, this is a little bit like reverse, like Trayvon Walker here thing, where I want to go, I bet you if we look at the timeline, combine, coaches looking at film, is exactly when we start to see, oh, Kayvon Thibodeau might drop. Because they're also looking at all these. There's no way you don't see this if you're watching on film. I'm sorry.
All right, what'd you see?
It just, first off, not a great body. Not a great body for that position. It's a little bit narrow-hipped and narrow-legged with square shoulders, to where I go, you know, hey, you know, Jermaine Johnson and all of them, or even Trayvon Walker, who's a little higher cut, it's still thickness in the leg, skinny waist, and now go back out. Not, you know, just go back, just go all the way down into like a skinny V all the way to your leg. So that scared me right off the bat. When I turned on the film, I just went, oh, his body's a little more stiff and upright than I thought it would be. But then, you know, there was nothing like physically that I came away with going, wow, all right. Again, a lot of good. I understand that. But stiff around the edge as a pass rusher. I thought his first step was, you know, less than Hutchinson's, and Hutchinson didn't have a great first step. I wasn't like blown away by Hutchinson's. You heard me just say that. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing there. Then you talk about, like, you know, point of attack. What's he do there? He's not in the same class as like the top four guys as far as taking on blockers, throwing them, dominating a tight end, doing that. They're not in the same class as the top four. Now, Nick Bonito, who I talked about, is a little more of a space guy, but has tremendous. Okay, yeah, they're similar that way. But again, I'm talking about, you know, we're holding a guy here to a top 10 pick kind of standard here from the way the narrative has been set out. You know, twitchiness was solid, but not great. The straight ahead burst, you know, again, was good, but not great as far as just pursuing and running down running backs or anything that way. You know, so those are all things. Now, he's got some position versatility as far as the 3-4 and 4-3 defense end. He can do that, but he is a straight liner. And one-on-one tackling and space or change of direction was not just like, oh, it's good or it's a little better than good. It wasn't good. It was not good. Like, not just like, oh, wait, that's not good compared to the other two or three. It was like, no, it's not good. So that's where it's like, damn. And that's where I felt, I honestly, like, felt a little bit bad as I was watching it. He does not have the same effect on the game as some of the other guys do, as far as, you know, this disruption or being around the ball or having a presence as far as just around the play, doing that stuff, you know. And then I think the worst thing is, you know, he does lose battles, like I talked about. You know that to me. I'm big on that. You know, there's plays in every game where you can see him get blocked downfield a little bit and go, well, that didn't happen to the other guys. You know, not even Nick Benito all the time. But I think the thing that we're getting to here too, and because I've heard people question his motor, or I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it and go, oh, the guy's not trying, or, you know, he's soft or anything like that. He just doesn't play with the pedal to the metal and the recklessness the other guys do. The other guys just don't have a regard for their body. They don't care. Because they're Greek gods, and they're just like, screw it, oh, boy. They throw their bodies around everywhere. They're reckless with how they play, how they pursue the ball carrier, how they go after guys that are blocking them. It's just not the same with him. Hmm. And that, to me, was maybe the most disappointing thing overall, was just not reckless enough, not enough pedal to the metal, throw the body around. His overall physicality is disappointing. You know, there is hesitation at times. And then, you know, I wrote pass rush. Hey, there's some good. I talked about it, though. Stiff, not enough bend, not great explosion. And then I wrote that, you know, the sacks are not impressive ones. You know, he doesn't win with speed. He doesn't win with speed to power. You know, he does know how to use his hands a little bit. But I'm not coming away going with all his sacks that I watched going, oh, man, it's just one dominant thing after another. You know, it was quarterback held the ball a little. Quarterback broke the pocket. He tackled, sacked him that way. There's difference in the context of how these sacks are obtained. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where, you know, I came away with it. And I just wrote, I mean, top 10, I don't see top 10 talent here at all. This is the second guy I watched. So it wasn't like I had seen the other guys. I'd kind of seen a few plays of all of them and then studied when Hutchinson won, Thibodeau two, right? So there's not enough dominant play, not enough disruption, not just enough pure physical talent here to be a top 10 pick. And, you know, I just wrote one of the more overhyped guys I can remember, and I can see why he's falling.
All right, we'll talk about where maybe he would think he will go. But let me read you a couple quotes, because NFL.com has some anonymous quotes from personnel directors and scouts on some of their ones. And yeah. PFF has a quote on him, too. And I'm going to read you the one. And this is from a personnel director from an NFC team on Kayvon Thibodeau, saying, he's not fluid like Jadeveon Clowney, but he has the same type of upside coming out. He's going to get better as a rusher. He might top out as a 10, 11 sack guy. I don't see him as a dude in that area. So seeing some things, but also saying that he has a lot of upside coming out. And PFF said,
Jadeveon, let me comment off of that. Let's go one at a time here.
Okay,
Jadeveon
sure.
Clowney was not the greatest edge pass rusher in the world, but such a dominant physical freak. It was like everybody always goes to his last year in college and goes, well, he didn't have a lot of sacks. Like, he was so dominant the year before, but he was double teamed in every game from that point on. It was a different thing here. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, nobody's double teaming him. Nobody's showing him preferential treatment, and he gets blocked by tight ends, and I have an issue with that. Like, so that to me is where I would push back on that.
Pro Football Focus, the end of their scouting report. They do a great job looking at a lot of players. They said it may not be year one or year two, but Thibodeau has perennial all-pro physical ability. You just don't see it.
I don't. Sorry. I don't. Yeah, I think this is a little bit of, like, you know, putting the cart in front of the horse, where it's just like, wait, he's got the measurables. Wait, he had the stats say that it should be that. He was the number one recruit coming out of college. Okay, he's the number one pick. I think it's a lot of aligning the stars without, like, you know, the details of why the stars are aligned that way. And that, to me, would be the difference. I don't think you're hearing he's going to drop. He's going to drop. I'm just telling you, he's going to drop. These guys in the NFL, they're watching the same tape I am. There's no way they're coming away going, he's in the same class as some of the guys we talked about. There's just no way. And I'm being adamant about it to make my point. And then I'm not trying to be a shock jock or get clicks here. And I don't like that I'm even doing this with a young kid who I want to come in and kick ass in the NFL. But he is not in the same class as the top guys in this draft. And I think it's a lot because of, yeah, the hype of the player and the look of it. He's a scouting He would be a scouting or area scout. Like, this is the guy that they always fall in love with because it's the history's there. I saw him walk on the practice field, coach. He's got great big, you know, square shoulders. Yeah, it's, Pete said it's like Derek Stingley a little. Yeah, it's a little like that. They're married to what they've heard about him and what they saw earlier in their career. And they got in love with, oh, the potential, and now they're not evaluating it for what it is. Here's my last thing I'll say.
Yep.
Last year's first rounders, right? You had the Jalen Phillips. You had the Odafe Owe, the Ravens took at the end of the first round.
Yep.
Kwity Paye from Michigan. He's not as good as any of those three. I'll just say that right off the bat. Gregory Rousseau, I know, was later in the first round. He's a different guy. He's a huge DN. You know, I would say he's closer to that. But I don't think he's as good as any of those three from last year.
So he's an end of the first round, maybe second round for you?
I think he's an end of the first round, realistically. Like I said, I think there's six or seven guys that can go in the first round. And just so anybody knows here, like, Kayvon Thibodeau would not have been my number six. He would have been my number seven. Just so everybody knows.
Who's your number six?
Because my number six would have been Joshua Pascal from Kentucky.
Okay.
Who's a lot like Trayvon Walker. He's 6'3", 268, and he is just unblockable and a force of nature. So, you know, he had the Emmanuel Ogba type of play to him, where it's not sexy. It's a little bit, they want you to manhandle and do all that. But, man, you see all the other physical attributes to go, well, if they line him up wide, he can run straight and go get the quarterback. So he would have been probably my number seven, honestly. And, yeah, again, I don't like saying that. I don't.
All right, but I think it's fair. I mean, you saw the tape, and you made your evaluation on the tape.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't fall.
And motor.
Just to justify my reason. And again, I didn't talk about this much with anybody in the NFL, so I don't know what they're going to say. But I think it was pretty apparent, and I think that apparent with the rumors and things you hear out there, that where there's smoke, there's fire, and I think that's real with this one.
We'll do a mock draft right before the draft, the week of the draft. I think that Monday we'll do a mock draft, and so you can kind of put them where you think teams will take them, and it will be later than most, I would imagine. So was there anyone else that you mentioned Pascal out of Kentucky? Anyone else who jumped out on tape?
Well,
that didn't make your top seven.
Right. Like Pascal a lot, really did. Dominique Robinson from Miami of Ohio.
Okay.
I would classify him in that Jermaine Johnson II, Nick Bonito, you know, get him off the edge. The guy's got incredible get off and incredible bend and has some of those movements we've seen over time with the traditional great pass rushers in the NFL. He was one where I'd go, he's probably not going to go top 45 picks, but I don't think it'll be past that.
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, he could be a guy where we look at in a few years and go, oh, damn, he's, you know, in the conversation for leading the league in sacks here,
right,
you know, coming down the stretch. He was very, very impressive that way. You know, the Sam Williams kid from Mississippi, right? He's another guy I'll throw out there just from the fact of he's got great length. And, of course, he ran, what did he run, 4.3? I mean, 4.3 or 4.4.
Looking it up.
I mean, something 4.46, a 261. He is very stiff. He's not going to be the best at taking on blockers. But, again, when we get into the specific roles of what we talk about in the NFL and it being, you line him up wide with that kind of, like, I mean, it's the kind of thing where you turn on the film and he's the first guy to move at the snap every play. You're just like, whoa. You know, there's some bad plays in there. But again, the NFL pass rusher, wide nine, get him out there, go get the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be value in for this guy. And he's got a chance to maybe be something one day in the NFL. He definitely popped out to me, too.
You haven't mentioned David Ojabo from Michigan.
David Ojabo was a good player, too.
Unfortunately,
he really
got hurt. Yes. Hurt his Achilles at that pro day.
Yes. Ojabo is a good player. Let me get to his stuff. Like Ojabo,
out of Michigan.
You know, their next guys we're talking about, the Arnold Ebikidi, right, from Penn State.
Yep.
You know, the Boye Mafe.
Boye Mafe.
Right? They're all in
we're
that.
We're getting into the hard name pronunciation part of the D and conversation.
They were very hard, yes. but they were the next group of guys. And really good football players to where I looked at them and go, damn, I think they could all go, you know, second round and end of second round. I think you can see a run of a lot of these guys here.
Interesting.
Hold on, where the hell is
you know, it's funny when you say that, though. It's like there comes a certain point when if there's so many guys where you're like, wow, this is first or second round guy, you almost can wait a little bit and get one that falls. You know what I mean?
Yep. It's just. But there's that line of demarcation, I do think, here where. after about, I guess I'm going to say seven or eight, to where you're going to go, okay, now we're getting a different class of player. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the same. So I know it can either go either way of that conversation. You can either go, wait, there's more to be had, or they start to see four or five go off the board, and they go, oh, shit, we got to get ours now.
Yeah.
Who cares if there's been eight of them taken in the last, you know, 12 picks or whatever.
Yeah, Ojabo.
Ojabo. Okay, yep. Ojabo, you know, does it all. I didn't think he was, like, elite at any one area, but a really good football player. Plays hard, but not wowing, right? You know, in any really one area. He's a weak side rush end. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker. Didn't think he had incredible quickness and twitch as compared to some of the other guys we talked about, but had pretty good edge. I mean, bend around the edge, you know, but I didn't see, like, you know, the same area of explosiveness as we saw some of the other guys.
Yeah.
And then the power's not on par with some of the other guys. So it's a clearly, like, I think before the ACL, we're talking about a guy that maybe is in the end of
Achilles.
The first round.
Achilles,
yeah, Achilles,
yeah.
Sorry. End of the first round.
And that didn't impact your ranking of him at all.
I didn't look. I did not do that. I wrote down before ACL, maybe end of the first,
Achilles.
Early second.
Don't,
I
tear
wrote
his AC,
now,
don't tear his ACL.
I mean, sorry, Achilles. But I wrote now, you know, he's probably a guy that's going to be late to mid-second round, somewhere in there.
I mean, the distinction there on the ACL and Achilles, you've talked about the ACL and how it really is not that big a deal.
Achilles is scary.
Achilles
is
a little bit more
of
an issue.
It is. Yeah. It is, especially in a foot in the ground, all that weight on it. You're asked to push off that way so much. But, yeah, you know, even him had a similar – what I didn't also love about – he had a similar body to Thibodeau where it was very square-shouldered, gets very narrow and almost knock-kneed towards the bottom of his body. I don't love that look, all right? You know, but a lot to like about the guy.
Sure.
Getoff was good. Just not, like I said, with some of the other guys. The strength, you know, was good. He doesn't get overpowered or lose, which I like. He loses less than Thibodeau. Maybe doesn't get off the blocks and do some of the things quite as much as he does. But, you know, that was another thing. Right. I did love the way he played, though, as far as how hard he played. He was all over the field that way. But, yes, I think, you know, you hear what I'm saying.
Hopefully
a lot to like, but just not elite in one area to go, oh, top 20 pick or top 25 pick.
Another guy who's late to football. Late to football, born in Nigeria, came out, had instant success and a lot of projection there with a job, but hopefully he can get back and get healthy. You like these guys a lot. Our friends over at PointsBet have some odds on who will be the number one pick and who will be top 10. So here's edge rusher draft position. Our friends over at PointsBet, so they think the favorite to be the number one pick is Aiden Hutchinson. Second best odds are Trayvon Walker. And then Kayvon Thibodeau has fallen now.
So, see, the numbers are showing.
2,500, yes.
This, again, I don't like saying it. I'm just telling you.
He has no odds in the top 10, Pete, because they figure he will go in the top 10.
Oh.
They're too steep.
Yeah.
But you might, if you could short that. I don't know if you can do
can
that.
Can you short that?
Can you short that, Pete? Can you do a short on that? Get Jay Croucher on the phone. We want to short that top 10 for Kayvon Thibodeau after this discussion. Top 10, though, they do have Jermaine Johnson.
Oh, Jermaine Johnson.
As a favorite to go in the
top 10. I'm just telling, yeah. It's the real deal, man. It's the real deal. I think he's for sure a top 10 pick.
So who are the top 10? You think Hutchinson, you think Walker, you
and
think
then
Johnson. Those are the three.
Those are the three. They're all three are top 10 picks in my book. Karlaftis is somewhere in the next 8-10 picks for sure, and then it'll get interesting. You know?
Yeah.
I could see Thibodeau going anywhere from 20 to 40. You know, it's hard. And again, there's some measurables, and, you know, all it takes is one team to like something they see, or I like the guy, and let's make it work. I mean, there's definitely that aspect. I would be one to sit here that if you made me bet today, I'm going to say Kayvon Thibodeau definitely does not go in the top 20 of this draft.
Top 20.
I would bet that.
And okay. Then,
yep.
So Pete has put in here Kayvon Thibodeau. The over-under for his pick is pick 5.5.
Oh, there's no way. There's
no
way.
If you take the over, though, you get minus 150 odds. So they're taking a good chunk of your winnings away. So they even realize there's downward pressure. There's downward pressure.
Yeah. I got to the point, listen, when Dan Campbell the other day made some comments about Thibodeau because he was coming in for a visit and like, well, he's really good on tape and blah, blah, blah. I think it was that day or maybe the day after where I really studied him, and I just went, what? Like, I came away going, wait, is Dan Campbell talking about like him for pick 32? That's really, they're not thinking about taking him at number two. There's no way. I will be shocked. They got to be seeing what I'm seeing. I know they are. And I think that's why he is falling and why we're hearing that. And then you added the fact that I think as people have dug in here, not to just get all on Thibodeau, is the fact that you see these other guys and you go, holy shit, he's good. Holy shit, he's good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's good. And that's where it's special.
All right. If you want to take points, bets, money with that bet, you can do that.
Yeah,
right?
You can do that. If you're in an eligible state, PointsBet has an exclusive sign-up offer for Unbuttoned listeners that you can't miss, Ahmed. You can't. Even for a guy that doesn't gamble or swear like you, you need to get in on this, all right? Yeah. Download the PointsBet app, use code NBC2K to sign up, and get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. So if you bet $700 and lose, you will get free bets worth, you guessed it, $700.
Jeez.
Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Damn.
Are we sure Jay should be doing that? Our friend Jay Croucher over there at PointsBet?
It's not his money. It's all good. It's somebody else.
Eventually, it becomes his money. your company. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Pete says Tiger didn't win the Masters, so that helps him out.
Yeah,
a lot of money on Tiger to win
yeah, everybody
the Masters.
Took Tiger to win the field. Yeah, the field or Tiger? I'll take Tiger. He hasn't won a tournament since the Masters 4 years ago, but we'll go with him.
All right. That was good. That was entertaining.
So,
I knew that those were good players.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear how good they are compared to what you've seen so far.
I was not expecting to see three top 10 guys in the group.
That's good.
And cool. I was not expecting to walk away going, oh, shit, there might be legitimately seven guys that could go in the first round of this group. So that's where it's interesting. We'll continue to crack away. Tight ends, O-linemen, linebackers.
You're almost done.
We still, it never ends. Screw all of you, all right? I'm sick of watching these damn people, all right? All right, everybody, stay in touch. You know where to find us. Ahmed, thanks for driving the ship as always. You the man. All right, subscribe, rate, review. Wednesday, Rankings with Paul. Be there, be square. Peace out. Clap it up.